I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on? Ahsoka Tano Book Club right here. I'm Ryan Nelson, senior producer of Popcorn Talk. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We're obviously really excited for the Clone Wars series. We're very hyped. I'm joined by, she's a screenwriter, an author, and my co-host for the Clone Wars series. This is Rachel Goodman.
Hey, everybody. I am so excited to be here because...
We have a really special guest,
y'all. We have an amazingly special guest.
An amazingly special guest. Author of the Ahsoka Tano book herself, E.K. Johnston. Thank you so much for coming, E.K. And Vito, if you can just project her on the screen up here. We are so excited to have you, E.K. And obviously, three books now in the Star Wars universe. The third coming out later this year with Queen's Peril, but also did Queen's Shadow, following Padme Amidala. But the one we're talking about today is the Ahsoka Tano book, which we just finished it. Oh my gosh. Absolutely loved it. I did the audiobook and the novel. Rachel?
I did. Well, so...
German?
I've got two different versions. Here's a quick story. I accidentally ordered it in German. I do kind of speak German, though. And so I started reading it, and I'm like, you know what? No, I want to actually read it in the English. So then I went out, and I bought the English hardback copy, which is how I've read the book. So, yeah, it was...
And what's so cool about... there's so many different versions of it, and the audiobook is actually narrated by actually Eckstein, who voices Ahsoka Tano in the show. So it's just like the coolest version of the audiobook. And what's also so special about those is you have the Star Wars sound effects, the music. Like, it's just so engrossing. But we're really excited to have you today and talking about the Ahsoka Tano book. Just to set the table a little bit, Clone Wars... It's season 7. It's coming back tomorrow. We're thinking around 3 a.m. Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago, we didn't even think it was coming back. We thought we'd had it all with season 6. And with Rebels, they kind of moved on. They brought it back. And what's so amazing, this book came out in 2016. And it's relating to scenes and to just occurrences that are going to happen and play out in this final season of Clone Wars. Just so amazing to read about it and be like, oh my God, we're going to see some of this on screen. I mean, we have a ton of questions. Just, I wanted to open up right out of the gate. Did you have any kind of discussion with them as they decided they were going to bring the show back? Especially with this whole Maul fight? Like, that's the first chapter. That's the first thing you read in the book. Did you have any dialogue between Lucasfilm when they were bringing this back?
Hilariously, kind of not really. Like, they told me a few things. But most of what I know is what Dave Filoni shared at Celebration London when he had that huge Ahsoka panel with Ashley and Pablo, and I think I forget who else was on that. But most of what I know is from that. So in hindsight, a lot of things made sense, because when they were like, hey, do you want to write an Ahsoka book? I was like, yeah, can I have Rex? And they were like, no. And I was like, can I have Darth Maul? Like, no. And I was like, can I have this character? Like, Hondo? And they were like, no. And so now a few of those things make more sense. But I did not know. I was at San Diego Comic-Con. I had a signing, so I couldn't go to the panel. And I was standing in line for my next panel that I was supposed to be on speaking. So I had like a 10-minute break.
Right.
And I was like reading my phone as all of the like Clone Wars save tags were going bananas and people were tagging me and everybody was so excited. And I was watching the trailer and like bawling backstage at this panel. And all these people were like, because it wasn't a Star Wars panel. It was just like a normal book panel. And they were like, are you okay?
Wow. I mean, that's just to amazing. See your writing like put on screen. It's,
yeah.
It's so awesome.
And so how do you even... So we were talking before the show, and I'm a writer too, and how do you even go from, you know, writing books that are your own fiction to diving into the world of Star Wars? And I can imagine that sticking with canon can be difficult, right? Or was it something that was, you know, easier for you to do?
Well, I come from a fan fiction background, so I'm very used to writing around what's actually happened and sort of sticking things in the corners and the cracks as much as possible. So that's always fun. But in terms of Ahsoka, I had a few like critically successful books had been published. And actually the way that I got the Ahsoka book was the morning of, it was December 2014 basically. And the story of Owen, my very first novel, was nominated for the Morris Award, which is like the Oscar for best new book, basically.
That's amazing.
Or best new author. And so I emailed my agent that morning and I was like, do you think you can get me a Star Wars book? And he was like, we can try. So,
awesome.
So he did. And 2 days later I had a talk with Mike Siglane and he was like, well, we're putting some movies together. And I was like, you think? And then in August they were like, hey, do you want to write a book about Ahsoka? And I was like, yes, I do.
Holy cow. And have you been, I just want to get a little more backstory before we dive like into the book and a lot with Clone Wars. I'm assuming you've been a massive Star Wars fan like your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was that moment like when you found out, holy cow, I'm adding to the lore. I'm writing about Ahsoka Tano.
Well, I don't really have a lot of memories before Star Wars. My older brother was the sort of fan that got me into it. So when I was about 3, I think, is when we started listening to the record, like vinyl record of Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's amazing. That is so cool.
It was an experience. And then I didn't watch the Clone Wars though, when they were on TV, cause they were difficult to watch in Canada. And I was like, no, I can't watch the Clone Wars. They're just going to make me fall in love with the clones. And then I'm going to be really sad.
Yeah.
So I put off watching the Clone Wars until Rebels came out. And then my friends were like, oh my God, Rebels is so good. What do you mean you haven't seen the Clone Wars? And I was like, fine. So I watched the whole Clone Wars. The very first episode, Yoda's like, take off your helmets. You're all individuals. And I was like, no.
Oh, man.
And I had no idea what happened to Ahsoka. So anytime she was in, like, the tiniest amount of peril, I was like, this is it, guys. For real this time. Which was an experience.
Yeah.
But it was... So it's definitely always been something. And then when my agent called, he actually didn't know how to say Ahsoka Tano. Like, he didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
So he just, like... spelled it for me instead. So it was like, they want you to write a book about a character. Her name is A-H-S. I started making like really high-pitched squealing noises. So that's a yes. And I was like, yes, that's a yes.
An excited yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
And then that's kind of how it started. And then I kind of, the first time I got off the phone with the story group, my first question for them was, where are Ahsoka's ears? And the answer was, make something up. And then the second question was, can I have Rex? And the answer was no. Mm. And so I got off the phone and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And then I was like, deeply terrified.
Now, I have a question. You had mentioned, I'm sorry, you had mentioned story group. So when you're writing a book, like when you were writing Ahsoka, did they make you pretty much sit down with them and tell them what you were going to write before you actually started to write the book?
Sort of. It's like, I think it's like the publishing version of that, which is a little bit different. And it's pretty much the same no matter what kind of IP, intellectual property books you're writing. So if you're hired to write a book, they'd like to see an outline. So we did go back and forth on the outline a few times. I've done some non-Star Wars IP that was exactly the same. Like, can you write a book about Ahsoka? Sure, here's my outline. And they'll be like, you can't have Hondo. And I'd be like...
Notes, yeah.
And then go back through and change things. And the thing that made the Ahsoka outline a challenge was I was writing it while season 2 of Rebels was airing.
Oh, yeah.
And so first of all of a sudden Ahsoka is there. Like, basically season 2 ended and then the book was announced like a few hours later, which was really cool. But Kanan kept hitting all of the emotional beats that I had planned for Ahsoka to hit. And so I kept like sending in the outline, watching this week's episode of Rebels, and then being like, ugh, I have to change the outline because like obviously she and Kanan are going to have similar aspects to their stories because they're both like a Jedi alone. But I wanted her to have a few sort of more independent things. But that was probably the most challenging, was working on the outline while season 2 of Rebels was airing and trying to keep her arc and Kanan's arc as different as possible.
Yeah, because I do see why that could be so similar, considering Kanan always felt a lot of guilt. I think we even mentioned that on the first episode we did of this, where he always felt so much guilt for leaving and being one of the sole survivors.
Oh my gosh. Well, what my big question with that is, you know, it's this time in between where we left off with Ahsoka at the end of season 5, and in between there and what we see of her in Rebels, and this book taking place like right after Order 66, and we still have that tiny bit of gap that we're going to probably get filled in with this last season. And the brief flashbacks, the few scenes we get of what happened on Mandalore, was that conversation with the Star Wars story group, was that more they know what happens, or did you actually take lead on a lot of that lore? Did you actually come up with what events transpired?
That was actually weird, because they wanted the book to start off with the Siege of Mandalore. That was one of the requests. Wow, there weren't a lot really of like cool things I had to put in the book, but that was one of them. They were like, can you start off with the Siege of Mandalore? About 1,000 words, no action sequences. And I was like,
holy cow. Oh my God. These are just some specific requirements. Yeah.
I do that without an action sequence, which is fine, because I joke a lot that if you want like an action book with like a lot of plot and like shenanigans, you don't call me, you call somebody else. If you want someone who's going to like think about their feelings for 65,000 words, I'm definitely your girl. So that worked out really well, because I just got to write like 1,000 words of Mandalore and them thinking about their feelings because they weren't allowed to actually fight each other. And so when I saw the trailer for the first time, I was like, oh my God, that's the fight I didn't get to write. I'm so
oh my gosh, that's so wild.
It's been as much fun as seeing it. Seeing it's way more fun.
Well, I mean, so we don't have a ton of time here, but we do want to go into just the book, because again, Rachel and I are fresh off of completing this, and I'm gobsmacked. Like, I loved this book so much. I've read a few Star Wars novels so far, and this one was just such a delight reading, and it just got me beyond excited.
Do you know what I loved the most about it, outside of the fact that we got to see where, you know, what had happened to Ahsoka between 66 and where we see her in Rebels? Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we had Bail Organa, and we got to see baby Leia. Mm. How was that, like, being able to write baby Leia?
No,
that scene.
Oh my gosh, there's so many awesome little tidbits like that throughout that they might at first feel like tidbits, but they have such a greater meaning. I mean, just everything from the relationship, like, you know, at this point Ahsoka doesn't quite know what's happened with Anakin, and just anything with Bail Organa, like teasing and kind of towing the line, how much information can he share? I found that so interesting. And I think one thing that this book just did a fantastic job of is just getting more of Ahsoka's inner voice. We got, you know, a ton from the show, and they've done such a great job with the movie and the show introducing and sharing this character. I just feel like we have such a better understanding of like what's going on with her after Order 66, something that traumatizing. And those scenes with trauma, I thought were just so well written and very adult. Like it brought a new sense of realism and I think darkness to this with this character, which we haven't really seen thus far in the show. One place we left off with, we were going to do a few episodes of this, but once we found out we had the pleasure of interviewing you, we decided to finish it. And I just think we should talk about some of our favorite passages and scenes in the book, Rachel. Did you have any that really stood out other than the Bail Organa encounter?
There were a couple for me. So I loved the fact that the biggest question, the theme here, I mean, we start off in the beginning with Ahsoka saying, I'm alone. And we end with her saying, I don't have to be alone. I might not be a Jedi, but that doesn't mean that I have to be on my own either. And she recognized the fact that she was always going to want to help people, and she was going to make friends like Kaden, and that she was going to be part of something greater, even if she didn't want to define or label herself as being a Jedi. I loved that. I loved the fact that we got a POV from Obi-Wan. I was like, wow, this is like, we got Anakin in there too. I was like, this is amazing. And with everything going around, like with what we know happens to Anakin, the fact that we would see his moment, where his difficult choice, where he has to be somebody's, you know, training a Padawan. I loved the fact that we got little things like that. It really just complimented the world. And
it was so Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Like, that's the biggest compliment I feel like you can give is when a book like this, it just feels so much like Star Wars. And it felt like I was watching the show still.
Yeah, I agree. Really completely.
So I guess another one of my favorite moments I just wanted to ask about, like, the writing process of. So the Black Sun gets involved.
Yeah.
And we know in one of the final seasons of Clone Wars, there's a scene where Maul goes there and kind of wipes out the Black Sun for the most part. I think he leaves like one guy standing. There's an amazing scene where they chuck a lightsaber and like behead a bunch of people. I'm just curious, like, what was the inspiration getting them involved, and just the idea beyond like we might want to recruit this person. Where did you come from on that storyline?
This is where I have to confess to pure luck, because originally that scene was not a Black Sun agent. Oh. It was written with another character that I had to cut.
Because, no way.
Can you tell us who it was?
He was not a stranger.
Oh.
To a
okay.
So
let the speculations begin.
Had that short scene.
Yeah.
And then the one that Anakin ended up with, and then the ship to ship fight. Mm. Was with him as well, and then they were like, you can't. And I was like, okay, who can I have instead? And they were like, Anakin. And I was like, okay, what about a Black Sun agent? And so it ended up being one of those like everything's connected moments. Yeah. But not in the way that you think.
That's so fascinating.
That is.
So at the end of Solo, I was like, oh, good job, past me.
Nice. That's what was actually really cool too, is it felt so connected to so many current works and then future works. Like, I could see there are things in this book that could directly relate to things that happened in The Mandalorian, that could happen in the Kenobi series. That one short passage we got of Obi-Wan's POV, I was thinking to myself, okay, the Obi-Wan series has to take from this. Like, they have to show this.
Obi-Wan, because I wrote that one in, like, 2016 as well, back when it was still, like, a rumor.
Yeah.
Because it's been a rumor forever. But the reason that scene exists is because my favorite Star Wars book is John Jackson Miller's Kenobi.
Nice.
And oh, yeah.
I'm going to drag that book back into canon, like, one paragraph at a time. And so that's basically how it started, was I'm just going to borrow that book, pull it into mine, and then people will be like, hey, it's both canons, I guess. I don't know. Because I just love that.
I love
so
that.
It's now really, it has to be canon, because, yeah.
I love that so.
I love it so much, and I'm going to, like, drag it with me everywhere I go.
What was your favorite scene to actually write in this book?
I think my favorite scene to write was actually the one that also scared me the most, which was the lightsaber fight at the very, very end. Mm. For two reasons. One, when you see a lightsaber fight, it's like the coolest thing. When you write a lightsaber fight, it's like Ahsoka furrowed her eyebrows and wiggled her fingers like Morpheus in The Matrix. Like, it's not exciting. And I knew what happened. And the other thing, of course, that makes that lightsaber fun fight is there's only one lightsaber between the two of them. Yeah. So, I watched the Rebels scene where, Ahsoka turns off the Seventh Sister's lightsaber.
Yeah.
About 100 billion times. And then I practiced writing it out until I liked the way it went. And then I choreographed my own version of it and then wrote that version of the fight scene, because it was a little bit more work than I usually put into fight scenes in terms of staging, but because they only had one lightsaber and because it was like a really pivotal scene of the book, I'm really glad that I got to put all of that background into it, and then all of the sort of thought and advanced planning, and then just, it's difficult to write a sword fight where they only have one sword between the two people.
And what's so interesting about that fight, immediately following it, we get to see how Ahsoka gets these two.
That was all.
So I gotta ask, like, that is such a big part of the Star Wars universe, like a Jedi forging their lightsaber. And this was such a unique way. I feel like we learned a lot of details about the forging process of a lightsaber and what goes on with the crystals. The idea of bleeding a crystal to make it red, was that your idea? Did you come up with that?
No. So basically, they had already been planning the Vader comic at this point.
Ah, okay.
So the Vader comic came out, I think, like a few months after the Ahsoka. I don't remember, but they were definitely already thinking about it. And so the, I just got, I had written the fight scene and then like her lightsaber breaks. And then when she turns them on, they're just magically white. And there was a note from Dave Filoni that was like, it's called Bleeding Lightsabers. This is what you do. And I'm like, okay. And so I like turned it into a few paragraphs. Dave had written like a script basically where it was just like, she says this, he says this, she says this. Nobody has any like expressed emotion because the animators will take care of that. And so I had to go through and like make it a book because there weren't any give them facial expressions and body language and all that kind of stuff. So basically I had to go through and add that, so there's a couple of, and change the dialogue around a little bit so that it flowed a little bit better. But basically there was a note from Dave that was like, it's called Bleeding the Lightsabers, it works like this, and then I added that part.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is such a cool story.
Did you, What was it about the Ahsoka Tano character that really attracted you to her and to write about it? What's your favorite thing about her?
Well, I came to Ahsoka kind of late because I didn't watch The Clone Wars till after it was done.
Right.
And one of the things that really, as like backwards as this is going to sound, one of the things that really sort of attracted me to her character was the fact that she was a 14-year-old girl that everyone hated because she was a 14-year-old girl, who is always going to be the character I go for. Like, oh, she's so annoying. I'm like, yeah, because she's a teenage girl.
Right.
Very good at that. And, like, you know, she just kind of shows up in the story and takes it over. And I'm like, yeah, that must be so weird to have, like, this random character just show up and take over the story. What's that like? It's never happened to girls before. And so I was kind of like, it's almost like spite standing before you get into it, where you're like, I'm going to like this character just because.
Just because.
It turned out to be amazing. So that was fantastic. I love her humor and her kindness.
Yeah.
And I love the way that she reacts to things that she's afraid of. And in the Clone Wars, we don't see it a lot, but she is like visibly afraid of being on her own. When she doesn't know that Anakin's coming for her, there's a couple of episodes. She is reluctant to step into leadership positions, but she'll definitely do it whether she's qualified or not. And, she has this, like the episode where she loses her lightsaber and has to go with that really old Jedi who like moves really slowly.
Oh yeah.
The way that she sort of learns and adapts to stuff like that, where every time she's uncomfortable, she has that total moment of like, yes, I am a teenager, but fine, I'll listen. You seem to know what you're talking about. And I really like that about her a lot.
Now, when you were preparing to write her voice, you know, it sounds like you obviously watched Clone Wars and really paid attention to how she was reacting to things. But was there anything else you did to really prepare yourself to write an entire book from her perspective?
I didn't really have to, because Ashley Eckstein is so, she's so Ahsoka. Like, so I didn't have to go like looking for her voice at all, because I knew if I wrote a line of dialogue and it came out in Ashley Eckstein's voice in my head, I knew that I'd done it.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have to do a lot of background work. The other thing was that they had asked for like a Western sort of King Arthur-y kind of vibe. And I know enough about both of those things to just do it without having to look back into it. Originally they were like, oh, it could be like a samurai sort of thing. I was like, how do you feel about a Western? I'd much rather do a Western. like a Western sort of King Arthur-y kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And that was really fun as well.
It reminded me a lot of A History of Violence at certain points when they're not aware she's a Jedi, and just like if she has this past, obviously more
the dark.
It's a lot darker. But it's so interesting. Did you have a favorite episode of Clone Wars?
I think my favorite episode is the arc where she takes the younglings to Ilum. Oh. And they all, Yoda like punks them all basically and tells them they're gonna die if they don't come back, and of course like it's just ice, you can chip through it,
and they go back to Ilum here.
But, yeah, that was one of my favorite parts.
And then on the way back they get attacked by Hondo, so it was
So awesome. Speaking of Ilum, we do see Ilum in this, and I one of my favorite parts of the book was where we have Ahsoka arriving at Ilum, and she just describes so beautifully how it once was this, you know, very, like, you know, luscious planet, and now it's being chipped away at by the Empire. What? So I guess my question to you is, what was it like to, you know, write a scene like that and just kind of, you know, be able to have that in the book?
I think it's one of those scenes that sort of goes really well with the little interstitial scene from the point of view of one of the crystals. They let me write a chapter from the point of view of a planet. That was fun.
That was awesome.
And I like writing the, like, excruciatingly real and, like, just really frustrating ways in which the Empire is evil. So, like, at this point, they're tearing apart a planet for a rock they literally cannot see. Because only the Jedi who's looking for that crystal can find it. Like, they can find the big ones that aren't as, like, well-balanced or whatever, like the one they end up using in Rebels. But the actual, like, individual crystals that are specifically for a Jedi, they cannot see them, but they're still willing to tear a planet apart. And, like, that just makes me so mad. And I liked writing that and sort of going into, like, the sort of very big ways that the Empire is terrible, even though it's, like, very small things.
Yeah, I mean, you did such a great job of articulating, like, the dread and trauma in some scenes. That torture scene is horrifying. Just, like, the way you wrote, like, the arm breaking. Yeah.
And how she just fell over. And
oh, my gosh.
And the way that Kaden was reacting after the fact. That was such...
I think... People talk about that scene like, it's the worst torture scene ever. I was like, really? Because it's based on, he never even asked me any questions, which scared the crap out of me when I was little. Because yeah. It's just screaming and, like, unknown electricity. And then, like, he never even asked me any questions. And I was just like.
And then not even having the strength to answer.
I'm aiming for that. So it's nice from a craft perspective to know that I got there.
Yeah, it was definitely horrifying.
Yeah, I think what it was for me is, she's such a young kid, and the fact that this is not only is she younger, but it's not like if Ahsoka had been captured and been interrogated, we know that Ahsoka has certain powers and certain abilities that she'll have more of a fighting chance. But I feel like Kaden was more of an innocent who had no training, and here she was being put in the middle of this, and it was heartbreaking to watch her struggle.
There's a scene in Lego Freemakers, Lego the Freemaker Adventures, which might be my new favorite Star Wars. It's absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
Where Rowan, who is 12 and a half, as he tells you quite frequently during season 2, gets captured and, like, tortured / interrogated by Lord Vader. Ooh. And it's all, like, psychological torture. But as I was watching it, I was like, man, Star Wars does this to kids all the time.
They really do.
Kids on screen, I mean the kids watching it, right? Like, they'll have
near trauma.
Character, and then Vader gets his hands on them, and you're just like, oh no.
Is there, speaking of Kaden, do you think post this story, you know, it has a great ending, and it definitely opens it up for the rest of her story, and we do see Ahsoka later in the Star Wars timeline in Rebels. Is this a character you think Ahsoka, I definitely think you know, is this a character Ahsoka keeps in contact with?
As much as she is able to keep in contact with anyone, yeah, for sure.
More adventures? It's always,
well, amongst other things, if you're a Fulcrum agent, it's just handy to know, like, several medical professionals just in case. She's definitely, I don't think they're, like, weekly by any stretch of imagination.
On the Rolodex, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But, like, they definitely have their methods of keeping in touch.
Yeah. Well, because one thing was, we were talking about how we shipped Ahsoka and Kaden.
We did.
And there was a moment at the end where Kaden said, I could kiss you. And I'm like, oh, is this a hint?
I know.
And I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, I thought that would have been very fascinating. Did you ever entertain that the possibility at all?
Well, I knew they were never going to kiss. Because Ahsoka is just, like, she's just not there. Like, she's just not there.
Yeah.
Her, like, everything she's ever known is gone. She's finally just put her world back together. Like, right. She really does like Kaden a lot, and she's just not emotionally equipped, thanks to her upbringing, for that many emotions at the same time. So, Kaden, on the other hand, is like, whatever.
It's just an interesting theme. Like, you know, when she's the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker, and there's so many great lines in this where just referencing the similarities. And, I mean, she learned so much from Anakin, but they definitely shared that idea of walking away from the Order. She actually walked away from the Order,
yeah.
Whereas he, like, kind of betrayed it. And
honestly, Obi-Wan is a way worse example than Anakin is. Like, Obi-Wan is a terrible teacher when it comes to feelings. Like,
taking shots at Obi-Wan.
He's not at it. He has many strengths.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Not one of them.
Yeah. And the thing with just, you know, like even watching The Wrong Jedi, you can even see there just the pain that we see with Ahsoka and how it's how connected she is to Anakin. So after watching that and then, you know, reading through the book, it just every time she was talking about Anakin and all the times she said, I'm reaching out and I'm feeling nothing. I think back to The Wrong Jedi and I think back to how she knew things about Anakin that other people didn't know because of their connection. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And that moment in Rebels where she finally feels Darth Vader for the first time, it gives me chills, and I just think... That's, like, one of the things I had in mind while reading Ahsoka. I'm like, yeah, just wait till she feels Vader.
Yeah, and you even get that fear in the final paragraph of this when the Inquisitor goes to report it to Lord Vader.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's definitely another Jedi here. That was just something I thought was so well done as well. You established this sense of fear and urgency and fearing the Empire, because I feel like it must be difficult to really set that up when you don't have a character like Vader ever present in the novel. And, you know, because sometimes depending on what you're reading or what you're watching, like stormtroopers, they can either be very menacing or they can be kind of like, oh, they just can't aim, they can't shoot anything. Whereas in this, I just thought the use of the Inquisitor and for that matter, the other Imperial forces was just so clever. And I did feel that sense of dread. And you did get that, wow, this is the start of the Empire. And, like, they're taking really no prisoners. I thought that was so well handled.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think the difference between writing, like, an occupation as opposed to writing, like, a space fight. Like, if it's a space fight, you just go, you shoot at them, and then you leave. But if they, like, if they live there, if they've taken over your town, implemented curfews, like, all that kind of shenanigans, it really becomes menacing quite quickly. And again, I had to be like, don't make it too much like Lothal. Don't make it too much like that's my life. But it was very much a nice way to sort of set the tone and have this guy who, like, the two bad guys, one of whom literally doesn't care as long as the math checks out.
Yeah.
And then this other guy who is, like, actively trying to hunt you down. And I always like to imagine them like the Inquisitors. I like to imagine them like Terminators. Like, they just keep coming.
Oh,
and, like, you can kill one of them, but there's, like, at least eight more.
There's
I don't know how
more.
Many. Like, there's a lot more. And they just keep coming. And so I like that sort of different kinds of menacing as well. Like, a person to whom you are a number and you literally do not matter besides your ability to, like, produce something.
Right.
And then the person who is, like, fixated on you and is just going to keep tracking you down.
Have you seen any of the new season of Clone Wars?
No.
None?
No.
Okay, awesome. Well, I mean, I feel bad because I wish you did. But is there any storyline, obviously Ahsoka aside, that you're most excited to see play out?
Oh, man. There's a thing in the trailer. There's two things in the trailer. There's three things in the trailer. There's many things in the trailer. fight with Darth Maul is going to be amazing. They mocapped both sides of that. They hired Ray Park, and I forget the name of the actress they hired, but they literally put two people in mocap suits and had them fight each other.
Wow.
So exciting.
Ray Park / I wish I could remember the actress's name because I can't, but there's two real people doing that fight, and they just put the animation over top, and that's, like, outstanding. So that's going to be amazing. I'm really excited for Bo-Katan, especially given certain recent shenanigans, and I'm very excited for... there's like one scene in the trailer, and I don't know what it's about at all, but it's just like, it makes me so nervous, where like Rex is like on the floor and Ahsoka's on the table behind him, and like her lightsabers turn on and the door is shut, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but that's got to be amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is like the final yeah. shot of one of the trailers.
Like, I hope they don't fight. I like them.
They're awesome. Yeah, we cannot wait. We're quickly running out of time. We only have a few minutes left here. Rachel, I want to get into your like any of your final questions real quick.
Yeah, you know, just as a final question, I wanted to ask who your inspirations have been from in the writing world. Like, so your favorite authors that really inspired you to write.
It's kind of like there's two different eras of people that I really enjoyed. There's the people I read when I was little, and then there's like all the authors I'm friends with now.
Yeah.
So I think the sort of author that bridges both of those two groups, although we are not friends, she's just an author who currently produces things. I wish we were friends. She's amazing. Is Tamara Pierce. Her first book came out when I was born, the year I was born, and she's still publishing. And her book, her books have changed with the market. So like she's like with socially and also like as the YA genre as the YA sort of sub-marketing category evolved, her books evolved to fit into it better. And then in terms of, like, I guess for lack of a better description, social justice, you know, things that she's always sort of pushed the envelope a little bit on that. And she's always been willing to adapt and willing to change. So she's not like one of those authors in the 80s who was like, no, this is the way it's always been. She's been like, oh, this is new. I'm going to use it. And I really admire that about her. And also she's been publishing forever. Like that's a fantastic career. So it's the, professionally and as a reader, that's definitely something I really admire about her.
That's so awesome. We were talking a little bit before the show with the other two novels for Star Wars. You focused on Padme Amidala, with Queen's Shadow, which has already come out. And I heard there might be another cover coming soon.
Yeah, there's the Tony Foti paperback, art for the paperback. It used to be a convention exclusive, but now it's going to be available on the paperback.
Oh, that's so exciting. And Queen's Peril coming out June 2nd.
Yeah.
So excited, obviously, to read. Was there any massive thing in the new in Queen's Peril coming out that you were just really excited to tell? Any aspect of the story that you were just, or any detail you can share?
There's two things, one from the movie and one that's not from the movie. So the thing that's from the movie is that the battle for Naboo is like one of my favorite battle sequences in a movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically four fronts. There's the Jedi, the castle, the Gungans, and the space battle. I got to write a little bit of the fifth front, which is all of the civilians who are on the planet.
Ooh,
and what they do. So that was exciting. And in terms of things I got to like sort of make up and roll with, my thing for Queen's Shadow when I was writing it was basically anything that anyone's ever made fun of a teenage girl for loving, I took, put in the book, and made like vital to the plot.
Really? And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like makeup, clothes, that kind of shenanigans. And I always joked, I'm like, if I could have sent them to a Backstreet Boys concert, I would have.
Well,
in Queen's Peril, they go to a concert, and the band is actually based on My Chemical Romance, but just because of timing.
Ooh,
but
I love this.
But it was like, it was the best, and I had so much fun with it.
Holy cow.
I can't wait to read this scene. And the book in general, but the scene.
And again, with Ahsoka, so you done two for Padme, and this opens the door. There's still a large time gap in between this and Rebels. Any chance on an Ahsoka sequel?
I mean, you have to talk to Dave Filoni about that.
You got to talk to him about it? No discussions? No meetings at all?
No, you got to talk to Dave.
About it. Well, we will be tweeting at Dave because this was so great, and we need another one.
Absolutely.
ASAP. Just keep writing Star Wars because you've added such an awesome... This is such an awesome addition to A Galaxy Far, Far Away. Just final thoughts. We have like one final minute here. Rachel, final thoughts.
Just that, I mean, I think that with the book, just... seeing and hearing Ahsoka's perspective in general. Because we've seen her on Clone Wars, we've seen her in Rebels, but we didn't, we never actually got to just focus on her. And it has been mind opening. So I absolutely loved this, and I'm going to go out and definitely pre-ordering. Yeah, absolutely.
Cannot wait. And my last thing is, just this made me so excited for Clone Wars. This is such an awesome addition. I loved, and what's so great in the book, all the flashback sequences are gray. So you can kind of see like, oh, I'm getting close to one. I'm getting close to one.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little separation from the plot.
Yeah.
And teases something else. It was so great throughout.
And I just want to say, too, it was interesting because most of them were flashbacks, except for maybe two. And I was like, oh, maybe more than two.
They were all flashes. There was a couple that might have been sideways.
Ooh.
I meant sideways, like Obi-Wan.
Like Obi-Wan. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But in closing, again, we're so excited for Queen's Peril. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're really excited for Clone Wars. We just want to know, where can people find you? What is your social media handles? And what else do you have coming up on the horizon?
So I am on Twitter at EK_Johnston. Same thing on Instagram. And EK Johnston on Tumblr, because they don't let you have underscores.
There you go.
Cool.
And Rachel, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author.
And you can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Instagram at Ryan Nilsen, N-I-L-S-E-N on Twitter. And Star Wars news every Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you all so much for watching. And thank you so much, E.K. Johnston,
author
of the Ahsoka book. Go out, buy it. Get Queen's Peril. Get Queen's Shadow.
Watch Clone Wars tomorrow.
Watch Clone Wars tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us on the Ahsoka Book Club journey. Take care.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.